Welcome back to the Orville Universe Podcast. Today we are talking about the episode Cupid's Dagger, Season 1, Episode 9. We're talking about seduction, we're talking about consent, and we're talking about, can you ever get that blue stuff out of linens?
All that right after this. Welcome to the Orville Universe Podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
My name is Matthew Westfox.
What's up, my man?
Not much. It's been a day or two since we got to record. I know I've been on the road a lot, so I'm glad we can find the time to get this going again.
Yeah, absolutely. I've missed our talks.
Yeah, myself, man, as well.
This episode, I feel like, I know you guys have talked a lot about it on Superhero Ethics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I never heard the origins of those conversations. So this will be interesting, because I've heard you talk about how much you hate some of the things in this episode, and I completely understand why. But actually, I don't completely understand why, which is why I'm interested to hear you out on it.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely have some strong feelings on this. But let's. Do you want to give a quick summary of the episode?
Sure. Absolutely.
Remember.
Absolutely. The crew of the Orville is tasked to negotiate a peace between two ancient peoples who think they have claim to the same lands or planet. And they, while doing so, an archaeologist comes on board, and it turns out it is the archaeologist that the first officer had an affair with when her and Ed were married. So hijinks ensue. At first, Ed is very angry and wants him kicked off the ship. When he finds out that Kelly has re-engaged a romantic relationship, but then suddenly Ed also engages in a romantic relationship with Derulio, this blue-skinned alien that they both find irresistible, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then they start to ignore their duties as officers. Another crew member is found having sex with a crew member who she previously hated, or at least disliked, and had rebuffed his advances, and they realize, right, something bigger is going on, and they realize that Derulio has some sort of pheromone that allows him to make people fall in love. So they use that pheromone to make the two heads of the species fall in love, and then it also turns out that the two species have a common ancestor, and everybody lives happily ever after. And they do not deal much with the complexities of the moral questions in this episode.
Not at all. But it's okay. We're going to do it for them.
That's what we're here for, guys.
I will also say there's one very important detail that I'm going to talk about a lot at the very end of the episode, which is that Kelly and Ed kind of realized that both of them were being controlled by this guy in non-consensual ways, and they're both clearly pretty upset at him. But she asks him as he's about to leave, "Hey, when I slept with you a year ago, were you giving off that pheromone now?" Which is it's not spoken, but this is obviously a very significant question in terms of Ed and Kelly's relationship, because there's a lot to do with her agency and why did she make the choices she did. And very frustratingly, he just says, "Maybe," and then walks away.
Yeah, see, to me, that was a clear no.
Interesting. Okay.
The
first time I saw it, and we can talk about this moment for a second, then we should back up some, but the first time I saw it, I thought it was an actual maybe, as in I'm not going to tell you, and leave them both just frustrated and curious. This time, I thought he was saying yes, because in a kind of like maybe and a smile, and then the look on her face, which makes me feel like he got me.
See, that's not how I took it at all. And to me, it was Derulio, because he doesn't do it with a smile. To me, he says he does it with a very like serious face. That is like, I think it's him trying to give her an out.
Mm.
Earlier in the episode, they have a conversation where he says, "Oh, you guys are back together," because he doesn't like that he hurt their relationship. He seems to want them to be together. And he says, "Oh, you guys are so back together. That's great." And she says, no, he would never trust me like that again. Yeah. And I think the answer to that question is no, he was not in heat or whatever, but He says maybe because he's trying to give her an out so that he can help her build that trust back.
You may be right. That's not how I took it. I think if that's the case, to me, it goes into one of the things that I think is my biggest problem with his character, is that in his mind, he is very happy lying to people and telling them, like, and manipulating them to get a result that he thinks is good for them. But let's back up, and then, like I said, we'll have a lot to talk about. Putting aside the Giulio stuff, there was some other stuff happening in the episode. What were some of your favorite parts?
Probably just the My Heart Will Go On moment.
Oh, yeah.
It was really great. There's some really funny stuff. This episode is really funny.
I wrote into my notes, if they don't give us in an outtake Bordas singing that song on karaoke night, I'm going to be so angry.
I do think that it would be like, I actually think it would be a wonderful way to like end the series.
Oh yeah.
Like have him sing it at, you know, a lot of times you'll have that final song or something while you have like the montage of people like having their final resolutions to whatever their storylines are. If it was Bordas singing My Heart Will Go On, I would be very pleased by that.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah, especially because that would be such a perfect way to end the season itself.
Yeah, or like literally the series, just like 7 years from now, they end the series with My Heart Will Go On. And it's kind of like a hopeful, this show will, like these people will go. I think that would be beautiful. Anyway, so you take that if you like to Seth MacFarlane. but I love that. I really loved the jokes with the, with the elevator, the alien who steps on the elevator with them.
Yeah, that was a fun little thing, especially because it's – I think we've talked about it before, but one of the things that I really like about this show – I don't know if you ever said this, but I've been thinking about it, and I think you may have actually said this. To me, there's a certain Office quality. Like the show The Office, which just made so much humor out of the random mundane things that happen in the course of a day.
Yeah.
Like I love the way the show plays with those things. And I think this episode with the elevator thing was a really fun example of
absolutely.
That.
That's actually a really good call. We've been talking about what this humor style is. And it's obvious that sometimes it's very Family Guy when he does certain types of things. The humor on this show is very Office-like. And you could almost call this sort of Star Trek meets The Office. Because it has all these elements of the sci-fi elements, but it is very much the mundanity of... The humor is based in the mundanity of these people's lives day to day.
Right.
Like, that's a fun way to think about it.
I mean, I remember there's a singer, songwriter. He does kind of like geek media type stuff at cons and things, called Voltaire, who I've seen a couple of times, and he is fantastic. And one of the sort of running jokes that he has is about how there's no bathrooms on the Enterprise. Like, and just how, you know, just looking at the kind of like lack of any discussion of just the normal things of day-to-day life. And I remember thinking about that when in the first episode of The Orville, we see one of the characters like take a break to, you know, say, hey, I've got to go to the restroom. Because it's just, like I said, it's that mundane thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And sort of the, not just the mundane, but sort of not grotesque is the wrong word, but just like, the truisms of life, like the bathroom is a thing that we have to do, and in Star Trek it's almost like the characters are too noble to have to ever go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't have just like the little things of life ever, and
yeah.
You know, and it's really nice to see that happen.
Yeah, and I know you said you wanted to stay away from Derulio, but kind of unrelated to his plot line, I just loved Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
I love Rob Lowe in pretty much everything he's in, and this is great. This is really, really great.
I hated his character, and I feel like the writers didn't hate the character in the way that I did, which we'll discuss in a minute, is what really upset me about the episode. But I did think Rob Lowe was very good at portraying that character.
If it wasn't Rob Lowe, I don't think it would be possible to have sympathy for the character.
Right.
But he's so charming that it makes it really hard not to.
He's so charming, and he strikes me as someone who, and we can start to get into this now. Like,
sure.
For me, there's an awful lot of things I have wrong with this episode, particularly in the way it treats issues of consent. And we'll get more into that in a second. But the way Giulio goes through life without any understanding of the consequences of his actions.
Yep.
And he clearly, like he says, he comes from a culture that clearly has an incredibly different sexual mores. And like, that's understandable. And I think he's portrayed as sort of being so innocent and so ignorant that he just doesn't understand the harm that he is doing. And I get that, and I think that's an interesting thing to portray. To me, though, that doesn't it feels like the writers want to excuse the harm he's doing and make it sort of a like, oh, he doesn't know better. It's just silly harmlessness. And that was one of the things I had a real problem with, because I feel like, I kind of feel like at some point in time, someone had to say to him, look, you ruined our marriage. Look, you made me do this thing I didn't want to do. You had sex with me without my consent. That's a crime. And I find it unbelievable that no one has pointed out to him the harm he's doing and made him sort of educate himself. So I kind of bounced into a couple of things there, but I think if we want to just talk about his character, that was what struck me. That and the thing I mentioned before, that he doesn't have any idea of the harm he's doing. And more to that, he seems to have a more affirmative, like, I can use my power to make people do things that they don't want to do, but that I believe are good for them. And that just to me is so incredibly problematic and manipulative that even at the end, I think we're supposed to think, oh, isn't it cute that these two people are doing these silly things? And I just saw a crime happening.
You mean the two enemies?
Yeah.
Yeah, like again, we have a situation where they kind of solve the problem through sort of a falsehood, which I don't love.
Right.
That's a few times in this show where, like we talked about it with the social media episode, where they basically flood social media with falsehoods to save the character's life. And,
right.
You know, this is sort of the same thing. You're using the drug that has caused this problem on your ship to create the solution sort of the same means instead of some, like, they had the answer, and that's that you have the same ancestor. Now that may not have solved the problem. It probably wouldn't have stopped the current battle that was happening. So and that's the thing, I'm assuming that these two people will fall in love, and then once the drug wears off, they won't be anymore. And I guess, like, trying times, you know, call for desperate measures or whatever.
Right. Well, and there's two things there. One is that the fight that they're in is 100% because of Giulio's actions.
Agreed.
Because he seduced people and caused them to derelict their duty is not a phrase, but, you know, to cause them to perform a dereliction of duty.
Right.
Which made the situation much worse. And the other thing is, he does very just cheerfully say, oh, in a couple weeks it'll wear off.
Right.
Which again speaks to, like, we have no, you know, when two leaders of two warring parties now not only are no longer in love, but have this horrific, you know, jilted ex-lovers feeling towards each other, you know, wouldn't one of those people assume that the other had screwed with their head in some way? Like, we don't have to headcanon that too much, but that seems one more time where.
Right.
He wants to fix the situation right now because he wants to be safe. But what's the incredible danger that he's, you know, has he created an even higher chance of these two races going to war later?
Yeah. You know, okay. So I think honestly, we ended up, I completely agree with you in Derulio's case. The thing that I was a little worried we'd get into this too much. And you may have strong feelings about this, but in the past, when we've talked about this, or when you guys talked about it on Superior Ethics, I mean, when I've been listening, you mentioned the Yoffit situation, which the Yoffit situation is a whole different can of worms. He has a little less agency in the situation than Derulio does. And to me, the villain of this piece is Derulio. Now, Yoffit's not blameless, but also, I'm curious your thoughts on Yoffit. Not to open a can of worms, but let's do it.
No. It's another one to go into. And let me back up a little and also just kind of establish the core idea of my problem with everything in this episode.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is, if a person if you have sex with a person who is telling you that they are giving you consent, but they are not actually able to make their own decision about consent, that is rape. Like, yeah. No, that is a legally defined thing. You know, if a person is so drunk that they can't consent, if a person has been, you know, brainwashed that they can't consent, that is rape. And that is exactly what Giulio does. You know, he creates this pheromone that people make decisions they would not otherwise make. And so that is kind of the overall issue with the episode. And my issue with what happens with Yaphet is, well, there's two parts. One is, I do have a real problem with him sleeping with Claire, because I don't care how much you are utterly in love with someone. If one day that person just sort of shows up and knocks on your door and says, all the terrible things I said to you, like, all of it's out the window, here I want you, there's got to be some part of you that wonders, like, are they actually making this decision for themselves? Like, Claire was so out of character for herself that for Yaphet to go along with that, I don't think that he's doing what Giulio does, but I think he has a major moral responsibility to realize this is not what Claire would be doing. But honestly, my problem with Yaphet primarily comes way before Giulio ever enters.
Right, the previous sort of harassment that he sees. I kind of wish it would make me dislike Yaphet a lot less if in the previous interactions he wasn't so overtly sexual. Like making a fake penis with his or making a penis out of his whatever, jelly, stuff like that. Yeah. Like that is sexual harassment. If his previous ovations towards her had been what this episode was, because if you notice in this episode, he's not sexual at all towards her. He goes to her with flowers and a guitar, and he's like trying to sing.
He is 100% harassing her, though. That is 100% sexual harassment in the workplace. He goes to her place of work. He tries to push on her his affections when she repeatedly tells him no. He then makes it all about him and says, you know, oh, come on, but I love you. I care about you, without once in any way caring about what she wants. To me, his behavior there, like, you know, that's absolutely a Me Too moment. I don't care that he's got flowers and guitar. You know, he should be fired and sued for what he does in that scene.
Right. I don't think that in all cases he should be fired for what he does in that scene. I think that that scene combined with his previous scenes makes it a little more clear that, like, she has been, like, it's hard. It's hard because, like, there's nothing. You're also living on a spaceship where everyone in your sphere is your coworker, which is a whole thing where, like, this isn't exactly the military, where there's a little more of a defined line where you're not allowed to have relationships or whatever. This is a, like, whatever this is. The Starfleet, the whole union Starfleet model is weird because you're not in the military, but you're also, you have families, you have people meeting and dating and all of that stuff. So, is he approach? He does go to her place of business, her place of work, and, like, I'm I don't know. I just think there is a doing what he did in this episode. If he had done this and just this, if it hadn't been a pattern, it might not have been so bad. And even if it had been one other time, and it hadn't been overtly sort of sexual in that way, I think that would have been less. There would have been less cause to call it harassment. And I wonder if sort of the, this is another artifact of the idea we talk about a lot, where when you write multiple episodes, you're not thinking about the overall what's going to happen on every episode. Like, in this episode, they seem to want to write him as this sweet guy who likes her, and then he's swept up in this whole thing, and he's blameless, and it's more Derulio's problem.
Go ahead. Yeah, finish the thought.
But with all the context, I don't think that's the case. I do think that Yaphet has been harassing her, and she clearly says it in this episode. She says, "I will call." You know, basically, I'll call HR.
Right. See, and I don't buy that, because the way he is approaching it strikes me as, "Hey, I know I was too crude last time. Look, I'm trying to be better this time." especially because she names that he has come multiple times already to her workplace to ask her out. So I feel like the writers were aware of that. I just think the writers – I think the writers think that it's Yaphet being ridiculous and harmless and not – and again, I don't want us to get too political, but like rape culture is a real thing. And scenes like this in TV are, to me, not only like bad writing, they're harmful because it reinforces the idea of, you know, when you really just love a person that much, you go all out and you go crazy for them, and at least it's cute. It's adorable. It's – instead of recognizing like this is actively wrong.
Right. And that's the thing. I will totally go with you, and that's where I think I was scared of what we were going to get to, and we may be at an impasse here, but like I will go with you and say he's harassing her, like 100%. I think that he's harassing her, but I don't know if I would call what happens, at least from Yaphet's perspective, I would call that rape, except because he doesn't know that she is in a, like, we don't know how she acts there. I don't think she was acting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. This is a love potion. For all he knows, she changed her mind, and it's something he really wants. I don't know that, like, I don't know that I can call what he does rape. Now, when you combine it with Derulio, like, it is. Like, somehow their combined actions are raping her, and that's really rough, and that's why that scene is so problematic. But it's hard for me to call Yaphet a rapist. I'll go with the harasser. I don't know.
I think I could agree with you there. I think him sleeping with her is morally horrific and is probably some level of is wrong on many, many levels. I think you're right. I can't call it outright rape, but I think for him to – I don't think there is any possible way that a sentient being of any sort could really believe that a person had that much of a fundamental change without something happening to them. I mean, she was so clear in her intentions, and the way she talks, she never says something like, you know, oh, I didn't want them to know that I wanted you all this time. Like she never says anything to indicate some continuity between what she was saying before and what she was saying now. And I don't think what he did is anywhere near as bad as what Derulio is doing, but I think he 100% has a moral responsibility to have, you know, recognized that she was not in her right mind, and at least even like checked in with her, just said like, say, you know, try to find some way. And that for him to just like be like, okay, cool, it's going to happen. What it shows me more than anything, and it connects to the harassment at the beginning, his affection for her has almost nothing to do with her, like actually her. He doesn't care about what she thinks. He doesn't care about what she wants. He sees her as an object that he desires, and he wants to get her.
Yeah.
And he's not in any way paying attention to her needs and her desires and what she would like. And so for her to then come to him basically having a complete personality change and him not even notice, to me that, I guess, just reinforces to me that – what he is doing is morally absolutely abhorrent, and even if it's not at the legal level of sexual assault, it is 100% something that this is by far the episode I was most disappointed in the show, and that I came very close to stopping watching the show because of this episode.
Yeah.
And I hoped that they were going to address it. And I think as much as I praise the show in a lot of ways and will continue to do so, I think the failure to address what happened between Yaphet and Claire is, I think, one of the real black marks against this show.
Yeah.
Because I think it shows that Seth MacFarlane gets a lot of things. He does not get this issue. And he doesn't have people in the writer's room who are saying to him, like, Seth, you're writing a Me Too moment and not realizing it. You need to back down.
Mm-hmm. It would have been nice at least to have seen – well, see, it's like, I don't want to put it on Claire to be – Claire is obviously embarrassed. She says at the end she doesn't want to, I don't want to see Yaphet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know I don't know if she feels harmed. I just don't know. Like I don't want to put it on her that she should feel like her, you know, she might own her sexuality in a way that she doesn't really mind that she had a sexual experience with a alien. It's weird.
I can't, but I mean, given that she had no ability to consent to what happened, I think that's a real dangerous road to go down. Like, right. I understand that she might decide not to confront him, and I can understand that. But I'd at least like to see her talking to someone else in the crew about, like, just some.
Yeah. I'd also like to see Yoffit feeling bad. That's the thing that I really want out of this. I'd really would have liked to seen Yoffit, maybe not go to her because that seems weird, but like write a letter or something, or show him talking about finding out what happened and feeling regret for having taken advantage of the situation. Like, that's really what I want out of this, because it's, and like, I don't know. It's really hard. It would be a really hard scene to see Claire feeling violated. I kind of like that she sort of owns herself and's like, not that if, I don't know. There's a certain, I'm very trying to figure out how I feel about this. How does the change in culture that they're in, obviously with Derulio being on the far end of this and us being on the other end,
right,
like in our current today culture, Derulio is a part of a culture where sex is not shamed at all, and it is, as he says, it's considered rude to say no.
Right.
Which, like, that's obviously not where we are as a culture. And I don't think that's really where we should be as a culture. That's a bad thing, to feel rude to say no. You should be able to own your sexuality and just say no. But also, right, we're in a place where if someone, particularly a woman, has sex, there is a bad thing in our culture. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's bad. That we feel their value has been diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I hate that. Like, I wonder how much that weighs on the women of the Orville.
I mean, slut shaming is a very real thing. And
right.
I think that's an important conversation, and I think we could have that conversation. I think it is very important to keep the conversation like that completely separate from a situation in which a person has sex without their consent. Just because, like, but I will say, in terms of what you're raising about the culture, I think it's a really good question. I think, to me, there's two things that this points out, and I'll say there's, again, this is why the show is so complicated, because there is one element to the way the culture is shown in this show that makes me love this show and makes me praise it all the time in the midst of this horrible episode. And for me, those two things are, the first is, it tells me that Me Too is still a problem in this world, because if this is the world that I wish it was, that 300 years ago, we have gotten to such a point of an understanding of the wrongness of sexual harassment, I don't think there's any way someone comes out of a training academy for the Alliance or the Union without having it absolutely drilled into them. You ask someone out once in the work, and if it's in the workplace especially, and then if they say no, you are done. You stop. And so for Yoffit to sort of feel like that is acceptable behavior within the Union tells me that that change hasn't happened, which is really sad. Mm-hmm. But I will say that there was one incredibly positive thing I noticed, and it's so subtly done, but I really liked it, because again, it's so much of this episode felt lowbrow, and there was one lowbrow thing that they didn't do, which is when Seth MacFarlane's character now, Ed Mercer, when he falls for Julio and winds up being very much Twitter pated, kind of, you know, that kind of obsessive early crush love, and sleeps with him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone around him is concerned about it. Everyone around him is wondering, like, are you okay? You're derelicting your duty. I'm using that word that's not a word again. Everyone around him is very concerned about him. The one thing that no one ever mentions as, Ed, you're doing this thing that's so weird for you, and that certainly no one ever teases him about, is that it's with another man. I was really amazed. The minute he started falling for Derulio, I kept waiting for the homophobic humor to start, for the gay jokes to start, for the gay panic to start. And there was none of it in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's talking to Malloy, who you would think would be the first one to go there, Malloy's like, Captain, are you okay? And it's about the fact that he's having an affair with a person and with a person who hurt him. It has nothing to do with the fact that Giulio is male. Did you pick up on that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I thought about it a lot. There's nothing in there to, sort of, like you said, there's no gay panic in there at all.
Right.
And there's even more so to take our captain and have him have a gay tryst, and it not be in any way like called out or looked down on or.
I
loved it. I think that's wonderful for the lack of acknowledgement is kind of amazing. I like that.
I'm trying to think about other. Because in some ways, I'm not sure what I agree with you. I can understand why the Yafit part was to discuss. Giulio, I'm just kind of looking over my notes, seeing if there's anything else that we haven't really gone into.
Yeah, it's weird. The Giulio of it all is weird because I feel like he's the hero of this story, which is a bummer. Because he's not the hero. He's the one who causes most of the problem.
I agree with you. The writers think that Giulio is the hero. And that is, it's incredibly upsetting to me, but it's also just kind of baffling to me. It makes me really wonder who was in that writer's room and who wasn't in that writer's room, because I can't imagine, how this got made. I'm disappointed in the writers. I'm certainly disappointed in Seth MacFarlane. I don't know if it would make it okay, but I'd love to hear one day, Seth MacFarlane say that this episode was like kind of shoved down his throat by the executives and is not what he wanted. Because it just seems so out of touch with everything else they've been establishing. I think you're right about the way that character is portrayed in particular. He's portrayed as the hero when, everything that he touches seems to get ruined.
The thing is, like, just structurally, though, he comes off as the hero in that he is like, he's the one that has the dark night of the soul. He's the one that, like, at the beginning, he is unaware of his actions. And I guess the idea they're trying to do is he's unaware of his actions. He comes in bumbling through this because his cultural differences or whatever. And he causes all this damage because of his cultural differences. And then he realizes, oh, I'm causing all this trouble. And he's sitting on the bed with Ed and he's like, those fleets are about to fight. It's all because of me. And then he goes and like, I can fix it by doing more things with my weird power. It's weird that that's how the episode is structured that way, but I think it's really bad. It's really bad that Derulo's the hero. I almost wish he'd come back another episode and have a similar problem and then like, and then realize that Derulo was bad.
Yeah.
it kind of smacks of what we talked about before though. His culture smacking up against our culture. And I don't know where those lines of cultural, colonialism come in where I can tell him his culture is wrong. Their culture says it's rude to not have sex if someone offers.
But to me, there's two different things. I think we're supposed to believe that he has an incredibly laid back attitude towards sex. And I can buy that and be willing to have that discussion. But he clearly says that a person isn't able to choose no to having sex under the situation. I thought that was a way for the writers to try to like excuse him and say, oh, look, he's cute. And there are things where I think it's important to understand different cultures. But I feel like you would have to push me. And like we had this long conversation about Bordas's world and how in Bordas's world, there were things about the culture that I found horrifically upsetting. But I still understood like that there's a danger in the union just going in and imposing their culture. This feels different to me. Like, I feel like once you start saying that it is part of my culture to induce other people to do very intimate things directly without their consent, anything might be possible, but I find it very hard to believe I could ever understand that maybe if I went to their planet and that's how they all did things, I'm not sure I would necessarily go and say you're all wrong, but to come into anyone else's world and to do that, to me, there's such a high bar now on you to make sure that everyone else is okay with this. And especially because, as I said, I find it impossible to believe that he went through however much time he spent working with the union and working with others and not had this come up before and not had people come get upset at him.
Right. And that is a question, because it does seem like the union is full of humans who
right.
do still have these hang-ups, apparently. And that's the tricky thing, is like, so you as you said, it's not okay to step into someone else's world and force them basically to do things that are so intimate. But on his world, they don't consider them intimate. It's rude not mm-hmm. to. Like, it's just to them, it's like having tea or whatever. Like, say that's how they think about it. It's just, like, I think the truth is, Derulio is a problematic character. Like, yeah. period. Like, they've written him in such a way that he's hard to pin down, because it's like, oh, it's cultural. But, like, and then they gave him such a charming actor to play him, and they gave him such charming lines, like when Kelly says is mad at Ed for being upset that he's there. He says he is entitled to his feelings and the space to express them. That's like the first thing we hear from him. And he's just such a groovy, mm-hmm. cool guy that it's just very problematic, especially because when sci-fi does its best work, it's commenting on our culture and blowing it out to its extremes. And in this yeah. case, it's weirdly making this hero that is just problematic. It's just really problematic.
Yeah, it's a thing that I say a lot on the Superhero Ethics podcast, that to me, I am okay with a problematic character if the writer knows that they're problematic. I don't think the writers – I think you're right. I think the writers realize – the writers don't realize why Julio is not a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to say one other thing on the culture there again. And again, I'm loath to try and judge other people's cultures, though I think I'm not 100% absolutist that you can't do it. But I do think that, and again, this is the, like, honestly, I think it was mostly men who wrote this episode, because I just think that there was a lot of writing that doesn't seem to understand, yeah, and not the sexual harassment is entirely by gender.
Just throw it out. It is actually written by a lady and Seth MacFarlane. So okay. Seth and a lady wrote it, and a lady directed it.
Okay, so that's you know, it's not universal then by any means, but I feel, and I'll bet that's my false assumption.
Actually, yeah, Seth didn't write it. It's just a lady. He just has the created by credit. So yeah, Liz Heldens wrote it, and Jamie Babbitt directed it. Okay, it's yeah. So it's interesting, and I wonder if a man would have been like, oh, I can't say that.
I don't know. I mean, I still assume Seth MacFarlane had to approve the script, or in some way,
sure,
there's some connection. But to me, part of the – because here's the thing. Even when he describes his culture as to turn down sex is to be considered rude. So what that tells me is, in that culture, there is social pressure to accept sex that you might not want to accept. That's still non-consensual, you know? And like I think I can believe that there is a culture of the sort that they're trying to establish, where it's just considered like you just have sex with people because that's what you do.
Right.
But I feel like the way that they wrote it still felt like so incredibly tone deaf to – because that has happened. Like you know, there was a lot of stories about like if you read feminists writing about the hippie culture in the 60s, and they'll often talk about how there was this culture of free love where, you know, women were told that they were like giving in to the man if they didn't want to sleep with a guy.
Right.
You know, and certainly like that in office culture like that, like in the 80s, the whole Wolf of Wall Street idea, like, why aren't you cool? Why aren't you down with it? It's rude to say no. I'm not saying that Julio's world is one like that. But I'm saying that by using that language to describe Julio's world and tell us that that makes it okay, it just seems so unaware of – like you said, if good science fiction is commentating on what's happening in our own world, this episode feels like it has no idea about the sexual politics that are happening in our own world. And
agreed.
Therefore, how it is it's being a commentary in ways that it has no idea about.
Agreed. And as a I almost don't even get into this, because it's I think we should almost just leave it at this episode's super problematic because they didn't think it through, and they have this like weird character they treat as a hero that if you compare him to today's world, he's a monster. But I think
even in that world, he's a monster. But yeah,
sure, sure. But if we stepped outside of our own, if we stepped outside of that and tried to create this culture, if we tried to create a culture where Derulio makes sense, mm-hmm. then what if sex literally is, there's nothing that feels, you don't, sex is a thing they do, like I said, like it's taking tea. It's not in any way shamed, and there's no value placed on it. You don't feel like you're giving anything up when you do it.
Right.
It's not like that's the kind of world I guess he would have to be from, but that's not the world we live in. And it's weird to put that out there in this episode and have him interact with a world that seems so similar to ours without having those consequences.
I let me put it this way, because I think there's two things happening there. Because it again goes down, there's on one hand that the question of his understanding of sex and the world he comes from and the culture clash, and I don't want to talk about that for a second, but to me it still always comes down to the issue of consent. Like a handshake for me is kind of what you're talking about. Like you're saying, like, what to me a handshake has almost no consequence. It's not a big deal. If I shook someone's hand and then later found out I had been manipulated into doing that and it was against my consent, I'd feel violated. I would be angry. I don't think I'd be raped. I don't think I would have been the victim of something as dramatic as that. Dramatic's a horrible word in this situation. As important as that, but I would still feel violated. I would still feel like something very wrong had happened, and I would feel like it would be a huge violation of my trust. And that's not a person I would ever want anything to do with.
Anytime you lose your agency, you're going to feel violated, and anytime you don't have, you're not making decisions on your own, but someone else is making them for you. That is a violation. It's just weird. It's almost weird that they did this with a character about sex. Like they did it for the joke, and it's not it's not a good enough joke to.
It's not a topic that should be joked about. Like it should just never be joked about.
Right. I don't know. We'll get into. Like, I don't want to get into what makes a joke okay. That'll be a 50-minute conversation.
But like, let me go back to the original point you're making, which is that, and I was frustrated by this episode too. I feel like the writers were trying to do two different things, and maybe actually this is maybe my theory about what happened here. The writers wanted to create a culture clash, introducing someone who had a fundamentally different view of sex. And I think what they wanted to go for is the idea of what if you met someone who absolutely did not have the sexual morality that does exist in our own world, and who was so incredibly charming and so incredibly seductive that he made people make choices that they might not have otherwise made, but they were still making those choices with their own full consent. And that would be incredibly hard to represent in a believable way in a 42-minute episode, especially for it to happen to multiple people.
Right.
And so they invented this plot device of the pheromones without, I think, realizing that that plot device fundamentally changes the story they were trying to tell. Because if you take away that, if you take away the pheromones and make it just that he is incredibly seductive and incredibly romantic, and that he listens to Kelly in a way that no one else had, and he creates space for people, and he does these things that more people should do, then I think you have a really interesting episode, because now you have a real question about, like, how is he challenging our sexual ethics? How is he still problematic, but how is he have some points that maybe we're not thinking about, or maybe he doesn't? Like, that to me would have been a great episode to explore.
I agree.
But that wasn't the episode we got. And is that kind of what is that the kind of thing you were talking about when you're trying to set up, like, if we better understand what Derulio's world is like?
Yes. Like, I could see an episode that deals with that, or even just a commentary on our own sexuality and our own shames and the values we place on chastity and all this stuff that, like, could be questioned. But if you, I would much rather give that, if you're going to question that, you don't need to give those same questions to a character who is also causing these consent questions. Like, those two questions need to be two separate episodes, and unfortunately they're not.
You know what's you and Jeff often will rewrite scripts for things on the MCU podcast, which I love, and some of the stuff you come up with. So I'm going to try doing this here, which is and Seth, if you're listening to this, I just need 10%. I'll be fine. But the episode I would love to see is that at some point they have to go to his planet, to Derulio's planet, because of something that happens in the plot. You know, they need a power converter or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
And they get to the planet, and they sort of, like, they're very cautious about working with these people, because at this point they kind of acknowledge the horrible things that Derulio did. And very quickly, the people from that planet are like, oh, that guy? No, he's in jail. None of our people are like that. We have all the sexual morals he does, but that pheromone stuff, we keep ourselves locked away for the week we have the pheromones because that's not consensual. That's not okay. Like, that episode, A, gives you some kind of understanding that, that what this character did was not a hero and gives some chance for catharsis for some of the characters, but then lets you actually explore, so what would that culture be like if everyone else did have those kind of sexual morals, but also cared about consent in an important way.
Yeah, it's sexuality is so hard to talk about in a moral context. Like, obviously, not about consent. Like, it shouldn't be hard to talk about. It should be easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. Don't do things without consent. But it's like, you just said lock away in that week, and that feels so shamey to me.
It shouldn't be that, but there should be some degree.
But the thing is, like, treating sexuality like you're a werewolf, you know, like, oh, yeah. This guy's, I guess just don't make a character a hero that is irresistible sexually, like literally irresistible. Like, that's probably a bad character to introduce, because you don't want to make anyone irresistible. Like, that's mind control. Like, if they had just made this episode about how his species is very seductive and not made them act like you said, Twitter-pated or whatever, like, not acted so, like, oh, like, the fact that they're derelict of their duty at the end is just, like, that's too far. The fact that the doctor chases Yoffit down the corridor trying to kill him.
I mean, if you want to talk about playing into a sexist trope, the jilted woman who is now going to kill, like, that was just so misogynistic.
Well, it's also, yes, but it's also a super trope of just, like, these episodes where you have the love potion released. Like, that's like a thing that happens. So it's like almost like they had to throw it in as like, oh yeah, when this is love potion number 9 or whatever. And like, this is the problem with love. Eventually, everyone's going to try to chase and kill you when you turn them down. Like, I don't know. It's just, I kind of wish they'd just been attracted to him, you know? And like, that's not how pheromones work, really, is mind control, you know? Like,
yeah. No, I get that. I definitely get that. Just an overall a hard episode. There's something else you talked about that I wanted to jump in on. You're saying about the consent is hard. Yeah. And I was just going to say, I think. We kind of hinted at it, especially with what I was talking about in the writer's room, although obviously there I indicated that it's not always black and white in terms of what kind of opinions people are going to have. But I do think, like, I think you and I, as two, certainly presenting, you know, white, cis, straight kind of guys, whatever fuzziness there is for either of us on any of that stuff. I'm talking about myself there because I'm kind of a little fuzzy on some of those things.
Sure.
But the point is certainly, like, I'm certainly a male in this society. I have all of that privilege, and you are as well, as I understand it. And I think you and I can bring a lot of great perspectives to this discussion. There are a lot of perspectives that, as I was kind of saying about with writers' rooms, are not in the room when you and I are discussing these things. And I do think it's important to name, you and I are trying our best to discuss issues of sexuality and harassment. And these are issues that, for the most part, you and I are not, like, I don't know if this is true for you, I have never had to walk into a workplace and worry about how I was dressed for fear it would inspire someone like Yoffit, you know? And I think that that's, it's important to name that there is, I'm sure there are things that I have said and that maybe that you have said that others would understand as being completely off the mark, because there's just parts of that experience that we don't have. And then I think that's – I think you and I are doing a great podcast here. I don't think we need to get a guest in for every episode. But I think it's just important to name, like, that there's obviously a lot you and I can say about this episode, but there's a limit because of the perspectives that we have and we don't have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is absolutely true. And I – you know, I can only be me. And I can't say more than that, but I can just say what I think about the things I think and be open to hearing from other perspectives. And we are. So please, if you're out there, and you have a different perspective, please let us know.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely. And any listeners, like, there's always good topics, I think, to talk to us about, but this one especially, if you want to write to us, email us, tweet us, find us on Facebook, all those things will be talked about at the end. And we'll definitely would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Couple jokes I really liked, just to get back to like a positive thing to end on, I guess. I really liked when someone said it's like everyone's on drugs, and then the young Salayan girl said, "You think they're on drugs?" And the lieutenant said, "Wake up! The whole ship's on drugs."
Yeah,
love that. It's just reminded me of real life. It's like, I don't know. Just every, you know, the prevalence of drugs in our culture, and when you meet those people who are like, "What, people do drugs?" You're like, "Yes, people do drugs." Wake up! Yeah. The whole ship's on drugs.
I mean, it's one more of those things I don't think that Star Trek ever really dealt with. Like, there may have been like a very special episode about someone who had a drinking problem, but I don't remember it.
Right.
But certainly the, like, you know, just on a crew of that many, there's going to be someone who has some kind of chemical dependency. There's going to be people who are addicts. There are going to be people who are drinkers, you know, whatever it is. And it's just nice that it's one more way that Orville is, it's just making it more real life in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. They so often blow it up to, the extreme, like you want drug dependence. So you create a drug called Ketracel White that they're using to keep people dependent or whatever.
Yeah.
Like in DS9, it's like, okay, well that's a drug. That's an anti-drug thing, I guess. But it's so far removed from our experience that it's hard to really even, discuss. Another one, I forget what word they're talking about, but Mercer says, what does that even mean? Why do we even need a word for it?
Box.
Is it box? He's like, yeah, why do we even have to call them boxes? What does that even mean? And then Malloy says, I think it's just easier to have words.
Yeah, I spent a good deal of time in high school. I don't enjoy pot myself, but I think there's nothing wrong with it. I'm 100% for its legalization. I just don't like the experience. But I would often babysit my friends when they were getting stoned. And I remember a couple of conversations that I heard, because my thing was always, I will keep you safe while you're stoned, but then I get to make fun of you for the dumb shit you do.
Yeah.
And one of the things that earned a lot of commentary was there was a long conversation that a couple of my friends had about the nature of words, which at one point involved the phrase, have you ever really thought about up and how it's just so different from down? And this was discussed as the most like important thing that a person could possibly think about. And I was definitely during that whole conversation with Mercer and boxes, I was like, yep, he is stoned out of his mind right now. That's exactly what's happening.
All right. And I agree with you completely. And on that note, I think that's a good place to leave it. Mercer was stoned out of his mind. Well, thanks guys for hanging out with us. We're the Orville Universe Podcast. We'll be back with you soon with another episode. Peace.
And just remember, in space, there's always a word for everything.
Thanks for listening to the Orville Universe Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from Matthew Westfox, search your podcatcher now for the Superhero Ethics Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from me, Matthew Carroll, search your podcatcher for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast and the Star Trek Universe Podcast. Or you can check out my music. Just search for Matthew Carroll wherever you listen to music.